Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to worship at Stone Tower in Portland, Oregon. Welcome to all of you that are joining us online. It's a beautiful day here in Portland, and I encourage you to get out and enjoy it and come next week and worship with us and receive the blessing of fellowship. I am studying the ministry of healing in my personal study, and I came across this. I'm in the last few chapters, and I came across this last night. I thought I would share it with you. It's page 283, I think, at least it is in my paperback, and it says, Christ took with him to the heavenly courts his glorified humanity. To those who receive him, he gives power to become the sons of God, that at last God may receive them as his, to dwell with him throughout eternity. If during this life they are loyal to God, they will at last see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And what is the happiness of heaven, but to see God? What greater joy could come to the sinner saved by grace, the grace of Christ, than to look upon the face of God and know him as Father? We've got lots of exciting things to do towards the end of this year, and if you look in your bulletin, you will see some of them. And I want to remind you, starting tomorrow, you'll see at 5 p.m. we have Northwest Veg organization coming here using our fellowship hall. And I would encourage you, if you've never attended, to join them and see what that's all about and mingle. Show them who you are with your dazzling smile and pleasing personality. That's tomorrow. And then next Friday, we have Mark Sandoval coming, and he'll be here for the whole weekend, several sessions, so you'll want to put that in your calendar as well. Plan to attend. There will not be a Sabbath school. He will have the Sabbath school service as well for us then. And we're getting close. We are, in sports terms, we're on the 10-yard line. Our series starts in October, on October 11. Each of you has your card filled out, right? At least one. Put five names, five families. Get two if you need them, like I do. Put down your names and start praying. Praying for the people that you would love to see come, and then ask for the Holy Spirit to give you the opportunity to invite them. And then come yourself and mingle. We have our Facebook ad running right now, and we will be mailing out 94,000 invitations to the zip codes right around this building, within 5 miles of this building. And so you will have an opportunity to mingle with people from right here in this area. The prayer team is praying. You can see that here. And the Holy Spirit is convicting and helping people be ready. If you would like, we can give you the Facebook ad, and you can email it or text it to your friends. Let them know what's coming. And you will see the full schedule here as well. And we have that also. If you'd like to see what all of the sessions are going to look like, there will be a light meal before the sessions at 5 o'clock. So plan to attend that. You can come straight from work. There will be a children's program that will be similar to the topics that are going on here in the main sanctuary for children as well. But we would like the children 10, 11, 12, and older to be in the main sanctuary. These sessions will be appealing to them as well, so plan to attend that. We also could use your help in some of the areas, row hosts, photographer. There's a sign-up sheet back there. If you would like to help, volunteer, sign up, come and see me, and you will have a wonderful blessing of being part of this amazing thing that God's going to do here in Stone Tower and here in Portland. I think that is all of the announcements that we have today. It's time for our children's story, and Auntie Lois has our story, so come forward, children. And while they're doing that, I will remind you that the offering that the children pick up are for our worthy student fund. It is the only funding that it gets directly, other than if you write on the tithe envelope, worthy student, it will go there as well. But the offering that they pick up each Sabbath goes to Christian education for our members. So please remember that.
Did you hear the song that Benny was playing? What's the name of that song?
Jesus Loves Me.
Jesus Loves Me. Do you know where I told you last week where I went traveling? Who remembers? Greece, that's right. Do you know where that is? Halfway around the world, I showed you on the globe where it was. It was a long ways and a long plane trip. And it took me almost a week to get back to this time zone in my head. I was waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, but it was a different time in Greece. Well, I have a lot of things to show you, and I just don't know where to start, but I'm gonna dive in here. Do you recognize this flag?
Yeah.
What do you think this flag is from? What country?
Greece.
That's right. We don't have one of those flags up in front of our church, do we? Whenever I travel to a new country, I always like to get their flag because their flag's different from ours. Ours is stars and stripes and what colors? Red, white, and blue. That's right. And they just have blue. Well, Greece is a country that's been in, even in the Bible. I have something that you might recognize. Have you seen something like this before? Okay. And this was the dream of who? Who had that dream? Nebuchadnezzar first, and then Daniel, didn't he? Because he had to explain to Nebuchadnezzar what all these parts of the statue meant. So what was up on top? What was the head of gold? Babylon. And then the arm. Medo-Persia, and then
Greece,
and then
Rome.
Okay, so Greece is in the Bible. Greece had a very important part in the Bible too, didn't it? The whole country of Greece. Well, when Jesus was at the Passover and Jesus was crucified, there were lots of people that came from all over the world to come to Passover because that's what they did. And when they crucified Jesus, they put a sign above his head. And it was written in three languages. Anybody want to guess? Greek, Hebrew, and Latin. Latin was the official language of Rome, because Rome was in charge then, right? Okay, but Greece still had an influence, so much so that when the Bible was written originally, it was written in James. I want you to read this for me. Can you come here? I want you to read this verse.
can't read that.
You can't read that. Why? It's all Greek to him. It's all Greek, isn't it?
Yeah.
When we were in Greece, our guide said, you know, everybody says when you don't understand a language, you say, it's all Greek to me. Well, you know what they say in Greece? It's all Chinese to me. Because they didn't understand Chinese either. All right. Matthew has something for us to read. Matthew has it in English. Come up here, Matthew, so we can hear it.
I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty.
All right. That's Revelation 1:8 says, Jesus said to John, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Well, what's the Alpha and the Omega? Abigail? The beginning and the end. Of what? Well, let's see. When I was in Greece, I bought a t-shirt for my grandson, Connor. And guess what it has on the front of it? The Greek alphabet. Okay, here's A, Alpha. And where do you think Omega is? Where's Omega? No. Anybody want to look? Who wants to guess? Where's the Omega? That's right. I am, Jesus said, the Alpha and the Omega. The whole story, or the whole alphabet, look at, even the first two letters of the Greek alphabet are Alpha and Beta. What does that sound like? Sounds like alphabet, doesn't it? Our word alphabet comes from Greek. So you guys know Greece. You know Greek. You can say something. I know Greek. I know alphabet, and that's in Greek. All right. All of these letters represent something. And when James looked at the Bible, he couldn't read one single letter, could you? I bet if you went back and looked in this Bible, it shows the Alpha and the Omega. Come see. Come see. Here's the Alpha. There's the Omega. It's right there. The Bible, New Testament, was originally written in Greek. So we have the influence of the Greek. All of us, somebody learned how Greek, and they could learn Greek, and they could translate it into English so we could understand it. The whole story of the Bible is about who? What's the whole story of the Bible about? From the beginning to the end. What's the first verse in the Bible, Elizabeth? Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's in the very beginning. And Jesus was right there at the very beginning, wasn't he? And then Matthew read something in Revelation. What book? Revelation's the what? The last book in the Bible? So all that time in between when God created the earth and when Jesus comes back again, the whole story is about Jesus. When we think about our Bible and read the stories, we think about how Jesus loved the people in the stories, wanted them to learn about him because he's coming back someday soon and we are going to go home with him. Someday soon, right? Let's bow our heads. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for this Sabbath day, for the day you set aside for us to worship and learn more about you. Be with us this rest of the Sabbath day. Help us to understand your will for us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Before we have the invocation, there's a family that is transferring back to Stone Tower that you are very familiar with, I'm sure. And the first reading didn't get into the bulletin, and we want to get them officially voted in next week. So I'm going to give you the first reading now. It is the Stevenson family, Kyle, Rebecca, Hadasha, and Linda Monroe, coming from the Wilson First Seventh-day Adventist Church in Elm City, North Carolina. So we will have the second reading next Sabbath, and where you'll have the opportunity to vote them in and welcome the family officially.
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, I'm reminded of a Sabbath where the clergy prayed in the little space over here before the message, and our elder Jed Lee expressed the strangeness of praying for things that we know you are already doing. It is our tradition to say, Lord, we have gathered here today, be with us. But it's strange because it is written, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. It is strange to pray to you when we know that anything that we could ask for, you are already doing. But we pray because it is written, prayer does not bring God down to us, but it brings us up to him. And so we ask you now to do what you are already doing. Be with us here today. Speak to us and lift us up, for it is your will for us and in accordance with your present work already. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our call to worship this morning is found in Exodus 15, verse 2. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. Our songs this morning start with 272, Give Me the Bible.
Jesus spoken, hold on.
next hymn is 286, Wonderful Words of Life. Let's all stand as we sing 373, Seeking the Lost, and I want to hear those bass.
Wanderers on the mountain astray. Jesus, the Lamb, for sinners slain, for sinners slain. Thus I would go on, missions of mercy, following us from day unto day. Choosing the faint and raising the fallen, pointing the lost to Jesus the way. Going afar, upon the mountain, bring the wanderers back again, into the fold of my Redeemer, Jesus the Lamb for sinners slain, for sinners slain.
Please be seated.
Happy Sabbath, church family. You know, I'd like to tell you a bit about myself. My favorite fruit is a grapefruit. I just love the sweetness, a bit of tanginess. And best of all, there's a little hint of bitterness that just ever so slightly lingers at the end of it. When I read Psalm 34, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no lack to those who fear him." This figurative language, drawn from Psalms 34, verse 8, "Taste and see that the Lord is good," invites us not to just believe in God's rich goodness, but actively experience it in our lives. To taste the Lord is to engage with faith in deeply personal, intimate ways. Just as we use our sense of taste to savor and appreciate different flavors, we are called to savor and appreciate the richness and diversity of God's love, mercy, and grace. It means opening our hearts to the work of His Holy Spirit and allowing God's work to nourish and guide us. The goodness of the Lord is revealed in countless ways. It is present in the beauty of creation, in acts of kindness, and in the love we all share. Today, let us taste and see that the Lord is good by giving back our tithes and offerings. Our offering for today is for the local church budget. You can give online with the link on the screen or in the box in the foyer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us all to gather here and be blessed by your presence. Be with us, bless us as we partake in the ministry of giving. Multiply what is given, like the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, to do a great work in this community. Let us all partake and taste the goodness of the Lord. Amen.
Before we sing the song that I chose this week, reading the Sabbath School lesson this last week and thinking about Moses and how his God's glory went in front of him, I kept waking up with the same song running through my head. And that's what we're going to sing this morning, just the chorus. But I wanted to read to you the first couple of verses of this song. It's called "To Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus," hymn number 290. "O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell." Let's all sing together, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus."
Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
time.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely.
All that are able, join me as we kneel before our Creator. Dear Heavenly Father, what an honor it is to kneel before You this Sabbath day and to come and to worship in Your presence. What a break it is from our daily routines, from the cares of this world, Lord, to come, to cast all of our cares on You, to kneel before You, to be in Your presence. What a blessing, Lord, and we thank You. We thank You for calling us. We thank You for healing us. We thank You for forgiving us for our sins, Lord. We thank You for sanctifying us, setting us apart for a holy purpose, Lord. And so this morning we come. We come seeking to know You. We come seeking to see Your face. We come seeking to walk more closely with You. When we leave Your presence, Lord, we want to be a reflection of You. We want to speak Your words and do Your works to a world that is suffering with stress and fear, anxiety over the future. As we go into the places where we live and work and play, Lord, we see people in distress. Whether it's financial, emotional, spiritual, Lord. And we're so thankful that we have to offer to them the peace that passes all understanding. And Lord, it only comes from You. When You fill us with Your Spirit and we overflow, we have an opportunity to help others. Lord, we see Your Spirit calling people all around us. We see the hunger and the thirst for righteousness. We see the world around us that's in chaos, seeking a Savior, a friend. And it's our privilege, our honor, to know You as a friend, as a father, as a brother, and to offer that relationship to the people around us. Lord, and so we know that we are unequal to that task. And so we ask that every moment of every day that You fill us with Your Spirit, that You guide us, that You give us wisdom and understanding and discernment, that You allow us to speak Your words and do Your works, Lord. We so want to help prepare a people for Your soon coming. We don't want anybody that we know to miss out. We don't want to be standing there when You come in the clouds of glory and have our friend look over and say, "Why didn't You tell me?" So, Lord, we ask for a holy boldness. Take away our fear. Guide and direct us, Lord, that we might be instruments of Your love, ambassadors, as though You are speaking through us to our friends, our family, our neighbors, our co-workers, the people we meet on the street, Lord. Show us who to help and how to help them. Lord, You've called this congregation to a mighty mission to seek and save the lost. right around this building. And Lord, as we reach out in our personal Bible studies, our health messages, Lord, and in this upcoming series where we're inviting 90,000 of our neighbors, Lord, to come in here to learn about you. We pray that your Holy Spirit will indeed go before us and prepare their hearts for this invitation to come. Lord, we know you're working all around us. You said the harvest is plentiful. Lord, so we're bringing out the workers. And we pray that you go before us, that you prepare the field. And you show us how to work. You show us what to say. Lord, that none would be left out. It will break our hearts, Lord, if some are left out. So help us, guide us. Let us meet those and greet them and bring them in, Lord, to your honor and glory. Thank you so much for this great blessing that we have to work with you shoulder to shoulder here at Stone Tower. Lord, and now I pray that your Spirit will be upon Shannon as he brings the message from you that you gave to him, Lord, for us. Prepare our hearts to receive this message, Lord, that we might know you as Lord and Savior, and that that knowledge would overflow to all around us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, church family. Our scripture this morning is found in Numbers chapter 21, verse 9. And it says, "So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. And so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived." Amen.
Our scripture reading is, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we remember the text. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Had I the ability to control my words or my thoughts, why would this text highlight Jesus Christ as the strength, as the redeemer? I have no natural ability to think right thoughts or to say right words, but the promise is given, O Lord, my strength, my redeemer. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Since you have given yourself to me and to us, we trust that that which will be presented today will be your word spoken through imperfect human language and expression. In Jesus' name, amen. I have enjoyed the service so far. Where are our choristers? Oh, before the choristers, the children's story. You know why we have a children's story in the Adventist church? It's because Jesus said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me." It's not natural to think of children as important. Let the kids be over there and do that. And the disciples, when the children would come to him, they forbade them, thinking that Christ did not deem children as important. But we in celebration have the children's story, emphasizing that every human soul is important to God. Isn't that amazing? Incredible service so far. In doing the children's story, we celebrate a God who is impartial. Choristers, what was the first song we sang? Do you remember? Give me the Bible, star of gladness gleaming. No amens. You know what? I like that the Adventist church does not give you amens easily, because God has taught us to think about what is being said and to internalize it. So that's a good thing. Adventist church, you're not going to get a lot of amens because we want to think about it. We want to absorb it and then make a decision. But the text says, "Give me the Bible, star of gladness gleaming, to cheer the wanderer, lone and tempest-tossed." It is natural, I think, for musicians and maybe for speakers. You sing a song or you play the piano, and you go off thinking about that one wrong note you missed, that one word that you mispronounced. It's a natural human thing to do that. But "Give me the Bible, without our help, is full of life and glory." Isn't that incredible? What was the second song we did? Wonderful. "Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see." Wonderful. Words of life and beauty. Teach me faith and do. And I think my favorite part of the song, "Jesus, only Savior. Sanctify for how long? Forever. Sanctify forever." Beautiful words. Wonderful words. Wonderful words of life. What was that last song we did? The opening song? Seeking the lost. I used to visit a convalescent home. Somebody told me to stop calling it nursing home. It's out of style. Is it convalescent? Is that what you say?
No.
Huh?
Assisted living.
Assisted living. Yeah, I like that. Assisted living facility. And we used to go there and do music. And it was someone, "Let's sing Seeking the Lost." And I never understood till today his attraction to that song. It's because he was singing the words of that song as not our ministry to the world, but Christ's ministry to the world. So if you look at that song in that lens, it's an incredible song. Seeking the lost. This is Jesus kindly entreating wanderers on the mountain astray. "Come unto me," his message repeating, words of the Master speaking today. Incredible song. And then it says, "Going afar." Far. And God goes. Upon the mountain. What's the other words? Upon the mountain. Bringing the wanderer back. This is Jesus back again into the fold of my Redeemer, Jesus the Lamb, for sinners slain. So thus far, an incredible service. And so I praise God for everyone who has participated thus far. Someone gave me the criticism that my messages are too short, he said. Which I do purposely, simply because I have a very simple mind. It's very difficult for me to concentrate on many different things. And so I give a message in the way that I can receive it. But in the interest of, there's a word I'm looking for. When you try accommodation to the people who enjoy longer messages, I will allow you today to turn to the text. And we'll do the entire production. I'll say, "And when you have it, say amen," so that you can feel that you've spent some time here at church today. So let's go to Genesis. Chapter 2. And I don't think it's wise for people to read it because we're live, right? And it won't come across. Right. So I'll read it. Did I say Genesis 2? Let's go to the next chapter, Genesis chapter 3. We'll go to verse 8. Amen. When you have it, say amen. Amen. All right. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amidst the trees of the garden." Let's look at verse 10. "The Lord God called unto Adam and said, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." Does this seem amazing to you at all on the surface? Why? You don't have to answer. You can just say it's amazing. I'll tell you later. It's amazing to me because this is a transformation of opposites from black to white or from white to black. What we are seeing here is God's ability to turn one situation into the complete opposite situation. They heard the voice. What did they do? They hid themselves. They put themselves out of sight. And it was very specific. Who did they hear walking? The Lord God. So they were disinterested in God, running from him. Yeah?
I don't think they were disinterested.
Huh?
Oh,
you're right. She says, "I don't think they were disinterested." And I will say that is too kind a word to use. Because in verse 10, he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid." Yeah. You know, disinterested maybe is too soft a word to express what they felt about God at that moment. But anyway, they hid themselves from God. And in verse 10, what do we see? If you're hiding from someone, do you talk? But it says, Adam said. Why don't you talk?
Because you're hiding.
Because you're hiding. You don't want to be found. So the fact that Adam spoke shows that a transformation had occurred. They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord, and God spoke to him, "Where art thou?" And he said, Jesus saves. Right? All right. God is able to change hate to affection, disinterest to passion. And I want you to help me with this one. Enmity to, anyone say it?
Fellowship.
That's a good word too. Enmity, I was looking for enmity to love. This is the Desire of Ages 2:7-4. It says, upon their thirsty hearts, his words fell with blessed life-giving power. New impulses were awakened. And to these outcasts of society, there opened the possibility of a new life. Jesus saves?
Yeah.
All right. This is Ministry of Healing 25. By the gentle touch of grace, he banished from the soul unrest and doubt, changing enmity to love and unbelief to confidence. Jesus saves. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 4. And God help me, I hope I got these texts correct. Matthew chapter 4, 19. That is Matthew chapter 4, 19. When I went to Bible college, they said, when you do your sermons, you repeat that three times. And that's for me, because I won't hear the first two times. That third time is for me. So this is Matthew 4, 19. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. What? Someone said, that's amazing. And I'm glad you said that. When I read this, I think that this is one of those texts that you have heard without even looking at it in our church. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And so for a lot of my life, this was not amazing. It was just a reading. It's just a narration of the story.
And they walked away from their father.
Hmm?
I think they walked away from their father, too.
Yes. Oh, see, now you're getting into the amazing part. Someone said they left their father. And their job as well, right? So this is incredible. If I come to you today and I say, follow me, and I will. You going to quit your job? No. Something is happening here that is incredible, that is supernatural. That idea is captured in the Ministry of Healing 25. This is what it says. If you can, think of this every time God asks you to do something or you read that God asked someone to do something. It's not as though I would ask you, not even close. Follow me. He could say to whom he pleased, follow me. And the one addressed arose and followed him. The spell of the world's enchantment was broken, and men arose, emancipated to follow the Savior. So it does not seem like an incredible story until we get something of an understanding of what was actually happening here. The idea, the fact, I should say, that they left where they were and followed Jesus was not a demonstration of their natural ability. It says he could say to whom he... This is something that Jesus was able to do. He could say to whom he pleased, follow me, and the one addressed arose and followed him. The spell of the world's enchantment was broken, and men arose, emancipated to follow the Savior. Jesus saves. Yeah? Incredible. Let's go to Matthew 12, 22. Matthew chapter 12, verse 22. We got some fast page turners. Matthew 12, 22. Then was brought, is that it? All right. Then was brought unto him one, what? Possessed with a devil. And what was the result of that? Blind, unable to see, and dumb, unable to speak. And he healed him. He healed him. Yeah? In what way? Let's read the rest. In so much that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. Jesus is able to alter, to convert, to reconstruct, to transfigure. This is the ministry of healing, 161. And if you want the references for these, I can provide them afterward. The Lord God, through Jesus Christ, holds out his hand all the day long in invitation to the sinful and the fallen. He will receive all. He welcomes all. It is his glory to pardon the chief of sinners. He will deliver the captive. He will pluck the brand from the burning. He will lower the golden chain of his mercy to the lowest depths of human wretchedness, and lift up the debased soul contaminated with sin. Jesus saves. This is our last text. Numbers 21:9. Numbers 21:9. And one for the Holy Ghost, Numbers 21:9. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. An idea that comes to my mind often is that it is possible for others to be saved, but maybe not me, because my imperfections are so severe. My sins are so great, and I feel many times perhaps that there is no hope for me. But listen to the text. Let's start at if. It's at the latter portion of the text. If a serpent had bitten any man, I have the idea that maybe salvation is impossible for me when I consider my faults and imperfections. But that's not what God says. Amen. And actually, that's a logical thought, were it not for Jesus. That thought is perfect if you ignore Christ. This is how we are described. Deceitful above some things. There we go. Deceitful above all things and... I was trying to come with the wrong word. You got me. Desperately wicked. You ever heard that? A desperate criminal. You know, it adds severity to what you're describing. Desperately wicked. What hope is there for one with that description? No hope. Yeah, it doesn't sound like there is. So it is logical in a certain sense to be hopeless. But what about Jesus? If a serpent had bitten any man. And therefore, it is written in the writings of Ellen White that we should not question whether we shall be saved. Amen. Any man. When he beheld the serpent of brass, what happened?
He lived.
This is in the Desire of Ages. The power of the love of Christ wrought a transformation of character. This is specifically speaking about John, but it applies to everyone. The power of the love of Christ wrought a transformation of character. This is the sure result of union with Christ. Sure result of union with Christ. When Christ abides in the heart, and that's simply to think about Jesus. You see how we went through the service? And Jesus was everywhere, in the music, in the playing, in the ritual. Sorry, I don't have another word. What would you call it? A children's story? It's a. Help me. A tradition in our traditions. Christ is all over the place. So you know when it says when Christ abides in the heart, sometimes it seems mystical or it's not specific. It simply means to have God on the mind. Talking and thinking about Jesus. When Christ abides in the heart, the whole nature is transformed. Christ's spirit, his love, softens the heart, subdues the soul, and raises the thoughts and desires towards God and heaven. This is another in another place, Ministry of Healing 17, page 17. Varied were the circumstances and needs of those who besought his aid, and none who came to him went away unhelped. Hmm? 17. Ministry of Healing 17. Varied were the circumstances and needs of those who besought his aid. Varied, different. Can't think of another word. Someone give me another word. Varied, different. Diverse. Huh? Yes, diverse. We got another one?
Individual.
Individual. And none who came to him went away unhelped. From him flowed a stream of healing power, and in body and mind and soul, men were made whole. Jesus saves. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for coming to be with us in person. May we understand you in a better way. Recently, I have been impressed with the thought that my understanding of you is not even close to the actual. But we are thankful to, by your grace, comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and height and depth of the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. May we remember that Jesus saves. May we remember that from you flows a stream of healing power, and in body and mind and soul, we might be made whole. In Jesus' name. Now it's time for our closing hymn. Who knows what it is? I don't. I had the opportunity to bring my bulletin up here, and I said, I don't need that, and I put it down somewhere.
343? 343.
All right, I'm going to leave it to the professionals here. 343.
Let's all stand and sing. I will sing of my Redeemer.
Father, we come to you once again thanking you for your many blessings, knowing that we cannot possibly appreciate what you have done. It is written, We cannot know how much we owe to Christ for the peace and the protection which we enjoy. We cannot thank you enough because you've done so much that it is impossible to understand. But we're thankful to know that this is written of you, unrecognized and unhonored. He walked in and out among the people for whom he had done so much. In Jesus' name we pray.